What's up, guys? This is, I guess, positive Chuck Mockler. Medium positive Chuck Mockler. Here, as always, with...
William, the opinion update.
We are reeling from last night's loss against the Nuggets. Very close.
A lot of soul searching.
A lot of soul searching done at the arena. We're going to get into some current NBA news, wrapping up a couple of the Western Conference games we talked about yesterday. Thirsty Thursdays, which is what people and lineups we want to see playing more. And then going into what that first game means for the rest of the season.
Obviously, we can make... we can draw a lot of conclusions.
Oh, yeah. We got the whole season figured out. That's coming up right now. So before we get into some game stuff, per Woj today, there was an article on Draft Express about how the NBA plans to offer a professional path to the G League with select $125,000 salaries to players as an alternative to the one-and-done college route. This seems like it's a step in the right direction.
I think for sure. I definitely think it's a step in the right direction. I just wonder, it just makes me wonder how much people are getting paid in college.
That's a really good point. I didn't even think about that. Because they probably were like, okay, how much do you guys give them? All right, we'll meet in the middle somewhere.
Yeah.
At 125.
I just want to know how they came at this, like...
number.
Yeah.
I agree with that. They also said that the NBA informed teams that no changes to allow high school players into the draft will happen before 2022.
That's a bummer.
That seems like... that's my biggest takeaway from this, is that sucks.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like, it seems like with the G League thing, you can almost, they're going to have maybe more control than a college would over the kids. Because it's like, you're under this G League contract now, which is tied to such a big organization. Yeah, and if it doesn't work out.
I guess I feel like same.
Yeah. If it doesn't work out, I feel like, you know, their eligibility is gone.
Yeah. That part is a huge bummer.
He brought up some good points, though, about.
But if you got into a really good college on a plane
just
scholarship,
go to college.
I don't know why you would go to the.
The terrible G League
over that.
Yeah, he brought in a good point where the G League is full of early connecting flights, long bus rides, small gyms. Big time NCAA ball still has the trappings of exposure, packed houses, private jets, and you'll get paid there too.
Yeah.
Totally right. I didn't realize that.
I appreciate the frankness though from Woj.
Oh, totally on point. I really like that 35K is like the usual salary in the G League.
Oh, okay.
So there's going to be like... Yeah, like that Ingram guy for the Lakers who was like, how old was he? 40s, maybe 39 or something like that.
Oh, that Ingram.
That Ingram was going to be making 35K while like some stud elite prospect is like, oh, I make $90,000 more than you.
I mean, it just is what it is.
No, I know. That just sucks that that
rule. It's a business, baby.
It is a business. Yeah, just an interesting thing. I'm really bummed about the one and done rule. That should just be phased out. Like,
yeah,
this feels like more of an established control over the players. And I really don't think, you brought up a good point before we started recording, that it's probably not going to be like your DeAndre Aytons aren't going to do this.
No, no.
It's going to be.
Because why would you?
Yeah, it's going to be guys who are like, could play in Europe, maybe not the most highly touted. And again, they have that elite word here for elite prospects.
Yeah. Or you really hate school.
Yeah, you're a really cool kid. You hate school.
Like, I just can't think of who else is going there. You're like, oh man, I'm so sick of school.
I've been listening to so much Blink-182 that I am over this, dude. That was an interesting thing. So let's wrap up.
Because people realize, just one last thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Because college athletes realize that if you're like a college athlete, you don't have to go to school,
yeah,
right?
I've always said that if I was a college athlete who was only going for one or maybe even 2 years, all I'm taking is intro to dance classes, just various intro to classes, you know, remedial math or whatever I'm taking. Like, it'd be a good time.
I do think the G League thing is going to be good if outside of just like the on-the-court development, they really implement planning
that program
financially for your future.
Yeah, so let's hope they can do that. Kind of turn into like basketball school.
Yeah,
that'd be cool. So let's get into some games. The Suns defeated the Mavs by 21 points, 121-100. Didn't really see that decimation coming.
No, I
we kind of thought it'd be a little more even.
I thought it would be much closer game.
DeAndre Ayton is just, I think, listens to this pod and is really upset with us. He had 18, 10, and 6. Really trying to prove us wrong and maybe win Rookie of the Year. Like, he looked like a beast. DeAndre Jordan had a classic DeAndre Jordan stat line of 11 points and 12 boards. Shockingly, Doncic went 0-for-5 from 3.
Yeah, I mean, it'll happen. You know, but you're going to have hot nights and you're going to have cold nights.
It's his first game.
Yeah, it's something I probably wouldn't read too much into.
He's still
at 10-8-4. Like,
I know. Like, I saw that and I was like, oh yeah, I mean, he still did okay.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't do bad. Trevor Ariza... 21 points.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get into the Rockets game. Actually, we'll just do it after this one, but they're probably missing him, maybe, after that game.
And Booker?
Dude.
The God.
The God. Pod favorite. Maybe our favorite player who's not on the Clippers, I would say, is Devin Booker collectively. God, he's so dang good, dude. He had 35 points. He's a real hooper. Anyone who doesn't like Devin Booker, come find us. Yeah. I don't care about efficiency. He's a great player.
Yeah.
Like, he's awesome.
I'm a fan of greatness.
Get out of here with your numbers. So, yeah, let's talk about that Pelicans-Rockets game. I was way off on this one. I am happy.
What was your original prediction?
I thought the Rockets were going to beat him. I thought we both said that. I thought that AD was going to shine and the Rockets were going to win by, like, 10.
Oh, okay. So you didn't see it being, like, a blowout in the way that it was.
But I will absolutely admit I was wrong. The Pelicans looked like such a complete team.
They're monsters. I think that, well, I called you out on the pod when I got back from Europe. I heard some trash talking on this pod about the state of the Pels, which I thought was totally unwarranted. They're an underrated team. I mean, we saw last year what they did to the Blazers, and they, like, now this squad just has more gel time together.
And Julius Randle looks so dang good. Off the bench, like, dude, he's unbelievable.
That's who you have coming off the bench. You're going to be a good team.
25-8-3 off the bench.
Yeah.
That's unreal. Mirotic had 30-10 with a three-pointer that he hit in someone's face. We were watching the game before we went to the Clippers game. He hit a three in someone's face that was so disrespectful.
I think the biggest flaw of the entire Pelicans squad right now is Mirotic needs to grow that beard back.
Yeah, he looks...
He's too goofy looking.
He looks awful. Davis with 32-16-8. I mean, what more can you say about AD?
It's just going to be, I mean, he's going to be MVP this year, right?
Maybe. I mean, he's one of, like, the top three candidates, him, Giannis, and...
Based on one day.
MVP!
MVP.
Him, Giannis, and I don't know if anyone from the Warriors you can really consider because they're so still evenly, like, just so good.
There's definitely a bias against that just because of the amount of talent.
But I think Davis is probably going to be up there. But yeah, that loss was insane. Harden had 18-9-10, not very good. Melo had 9-4, had his hands on his hips real early. Wasn't really into the team. But D'Antoni said something like this might happen, where it's just guys who, you know, they're still trying to figure stuff out. Like, they play the Lakers, I think, next. So that'll be an interesting test.
Yeah, and well, and sometimes shots don't fall, so it's...
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, 131, that's a lot of points.
I mean, their defense is lacking now, though. We knew that we knew that coming into the season it was going to be an issue. So, yeah, when you're, like, initiating a firefight, if it's not, like...
It's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of lacking coming out the gas station, as we like to say on this podcast. Wolves versus Spurs. The Spurs won 112-108.
Go Spurs, man.
Yeah, Jeff Teague shined for the Timberwolves with 27 points.
I've always been a Jeff Teague fan.
I am too, but if the Wolves...
I love those Hawks teams.
I'm a fan of Jeff Teague as well, but if he's your leading scorer, if you're the Wolves, you're not winning
100%.
Butler had 23, Wiggins had 20, and Karl-Anthony Towns with the classic 8 points and a foul out.
$200 million.
Dude, what is going on with that?
I don't know. I think that he is upset, so he's probably not giving full effort. I don't think that they're utilizing him correctly.
They never are. If he's only putting up 8 points, it's like, just feed him the ball.
Yeah, part of that's on you.
Someone brought up there was a really funny tweet about how Karl-Anthony Towns has perfected looking like he's trying to get the chase down block so hard.
Yeah.
Like, he's not really trying, but he's like got that look on his face. He's like, oh, I'm trying to go for this. DeRozan had 28. Aldridge with 21-19.
Rudy I think Gay this is going to be... Oh, sorry.
No, I was just saying, Rudy Gay with 18-7.
I think that this three is going to be, like, this is going to be almost an every night thing.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
All these guys are going to have...
Over 20, around that 20 to 26 range.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, DeRozan with 28 is awesome.
I definitely underrated the Spurs.
I think I did too.
Coming in, you know, I definitely thought that they were going to lose this game.
They lost so much of their identity that I think a lot of people, it was just like, we don't really... I don't know if you underrated them. I think a lot of people were just like, we don't know what's going
to
happen.
Exactly. It's like hard to tell. They're a team that I feel like has been built and bred on consistency.
Yeah.
And this is the first year that we don't really...
Turmoil.
Yeah, that we don't really have that same consistency. I mean, I guess last year it was like the start of it, but, you know, this year fully.
Yeah.
It's a different team, and I definitely worried about their, like, lack of options at the guard position, so... I was wrong.
We'll see. I mean, good win for them. Last one, we're going to wrap up. Jazz versus Kings. We were both way off about this one.
Oh, yeah. I thought the Jazz were going to stomp the
Kings. I said they were going to win by 30. Only win by 6. Donovan Mitchell led the way with the Jazz with 24 points.
Ingles was close behind, though.
Yeah, what do you have, 21?
22.
Gobert had 19 and 15, which I think we're going to see all season.
Oh, 100%.
Like, if he can get over 15 or 12 points with over 10 boards, they're probably going to win every game that happens.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see the... I don't see games in which he won't be getting a double-double.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Ingles had 6 assists. Kind of a detriment for the Jazz. Rubio had 1.4 assists.
Yeah, the scoring is low. I mean,
the assist numbers you don't want to see, though. That's what mostly worries. 4 assists is not good from your starting PG.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, he's never really been a high volume scorer.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's such a...
He's like a conundrum.
Yeah, he's like such an intelligent and skilled player, but I just feel like the consistency isn't really there.
Yeah. Incredibly even scoring from the Kings. Hield had 19, Bajica with 18, Willie Cauley-Stein 23, De'Aaron Fox 21. That's great if you're a Kings fan. You like to see that. Marvin Bagley played only 12 minutes, which you don't want to see that if you're a Kings fan.
No, well,
I mean, I guess they were, you know, it was a close game.
They just have so many bigs, too.
Yeah, they got a lot of big guys. Harry Giles only played 10, Giles, which kind of sucks. I didn't realize, I knew he'd had knee surgeries before he was 18. 3 major knee surgeries before he was 18. Back in the NBA. Good to see. That wraps up our NBA
recap.
Coming up, got our Thirsty Thursdays and then a nice breakdown of what happened last night in the loss to the Nuggets. So the Thirsty Thursday segment is sometimes going to be a player we want to see more. Sometimes a lineup.
Yeah, sometimes players. Well, you know,
it's a fluid situation.
Yeah.
The Clippers lost 107-98 last night. Brutal loss. However, our favorite lineup, I think we can both agree on this for sure.
Sure.
Was Shea at the 1, Lou Williams at the 2, Gallo and Bobby kind of at their 3-4s, and then Boban.
Gallo and Toby for the...
Yeah. they absolutely crushed.
It was really solid. It was really solid.
It was a very smooth, which surprised me how smooth the offense seemed to look with a plotter like Boban, no disrespect, around guys who can really run like this.
He can move. Yeah. I think that's underrated.
He covers so much ground.
Yeah, I think that's underrated. Like, he can move. And I think, like, maybe a variation or a tweak of this lineup would just be playing, if you don't want to have Toby and Gallo on the floor at the same time, just for sakes of wearing minutes or defense or whatever, you plop in Trez at the 4 and go with Shea, Lou, one of either Gallo or Toby. Trez, Boban.
But it was definitely, you know, we were down when this lineup came in, and they really, you know, kind of had a shot in the arm for the whole team.
It's just way more exciting to watch. We'll get into our recap. We'll get into the recap of the game later on. But yeah, this lineup...
it was so fun to watch. The crowd was super into it. They were, you know, the support last night was pretty good. It kind of waned towards the end when things weren't really going that well. But when this lineup came in, it's got, you know, other than Trez, it's got pretty much every fan favorite on here.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Boban had, what did he have? 4 and 1s last night?
Yeah.
And I think 3 of them came with this lineup.
Yeah.
Like.
Didn't miss a free throw. Yeah, it's in the, I didn't think that the defense was that big of a detriment.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we took the lead and the offensive production was there, especially compared to what we had been seeing with the backcourt of, Patrick Beverley and Avery Bradley. This was like a revelation of like, oh, there's 1, 2, 3. Everyone can score in this lineup.
And I know this is going to be a little contrary to this podcast and the current Clippers identity, but I've said it once, I'll say it a million times. Defense doesn't matter.
Look, guys, defense is overrated. No, this lineup kind of proved that, like, I mean, this should be our go and get a bucket lineup.
Yeah.
This should be, which they used it. This was a great rotation by Doc. We were down, and he was like, we need to go get a bucket.
Yeah, and I think if you're it just depends. Like, so if the point deficit is less than, let's say, 10 or 12 points, I think that you have this lineup with only one of Gallo or Toby, and then Trez at the 4 and Boban at the 5.
That happened last night, and it was really sweet to watch.
Yeah, because then I think that steps up a little bit. That lineup steps up a little bit defensively. Mm-hmm. I think if you have, so hear me out on this one.
Yeah.
So you go, Shea, Lou, Gallo, Trez, Boban. I was pretty impressed with Gallo's, like, at least effort on defense last night.
He was like, there were some times when it was like, all right, Gallo, like, you're really putting it forward.
He was pulling the ball. He was running down the court. He was, you know,
he was bodying guys up.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't welcoming the contact, but, like, when it was there, he was not soft.
Yeah.
He definitely showed me a little more grit than I was expected to see.
Yeah. So I think that's like a maybe a little bit better of an equilibrium to, like.
And they had that lineup for a couple minutes last night.
Yeah, on both sides of the floor. And then when you need scoring, you got to have both Gallo
and Toby,
in that lineup.
Yeah,
and then obviously the defense will suffer a little bit, but
it didn't matter last night. Like, yeah. The Nuggets played really good defense last night, but not against this lineup.
Yeah.
It's so great to see Shea with Gallo and Tobias, because they seem to already, like, him and Tobias have a great chemistry already,
mm-hmm.
like with Shea. And he should have had a lot more assists than he did. We'll get into the numbers after this. But his vision looks good.
Yeah.
He was finding guys. Lou Williams maybe seemed a little rusty. I don't know. Lou didn't seem as aggressive as I wanted him to be, I guess, in this lineup.
I agree. He didn't quite have like that. Yeah, he didn't just quite have that like confidence or killer instinct that we normally see from him. I don't know what was contributing to that. Maybe it's just, you know, first game kind of stuff.
And I'd like to look at the numbers at how much he's been on the court with Boban, because their play styles kind of clash.
Yeah.
You know, Boban's going to take up all that paint space, and Lou does kind of like to slash.
Yeah.
So maybe there was some tepidness with not understanding the spacing on that. It is very early in the season.
I'd also be curious to know, we'll talk about one of Doc's comments later, but mm-hmm. how much this particular lineup has really had time to interact with one another.
Yeah, so that was, I mean, and from that lineup, the one player we want to see more of is Shea. He looked phenomenal last night.
Close second, Boban.
Close second, Boban. He looked, God, he's, I think I tweeted this out, but man, crazy that it took this long to figure out how to utilize the 7'3" guy in a game of basketball.
I just think especially against teams like the Nuggets, you know, that have like those bigs that aren't really the greatest shooters.
Yeah.
That are like kind of the fulcrum of their offense. Why are you not using him?
Yeah, just put him out there.
Yeah. Okay. I think he'd be super effective when we play teams like the Sixers and
Lakers.
Like, yeah.
Depending who's at the five right there.
Lakers, I mean, are a little bit faster of a team, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. It kind of wraps up Thirsty Thursdays.
Yeah.
Now we can kind of get in.
More Shea.
More Shea is what we want to see. So after this, we're going to get into our notes on the brutal loss last night to the Nuggets.
Crushing defeat.
So it was a crushing defeat. We'll absolutely nail that. We were at the game, Section 206. No one came to say what's up. That's fine. We still love you guys. The Clippers lost 107-98. You almost predicted this score the other way.
I did predict. Yeah. I think this, I was 1 point away from the score and opposite.
The Clippers were leading at one point in this game.
They were
pretty
leading,
late.
They were leading, yeah, by, I want to say it was 9 points in the middle of the fourth.
Middle of the fourth. It was not good. It was 72-74 after three. Clippers pulled away. The lineup, yeah, let's just, there's kind of a lot to talk about. We both had mixed feelings about how the game went. First of all, great atmosphere at the Staples Center.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
Good to be back.
Good to be back. Apparently it was a sellout, which I don't know if I really believe that, but that's fine. On the Nuggets side, Jokic had 21, 8, and 5. A lot of calls for Jokic.
To me, it was absurd.
It was kind of insane how many calls he was getting. He got kind of nudged in the face at one point and looked at the ref and was like, harumph, and the ref was like, foul. Like, he called the foul so late. It was brutal. Gary Harris was really clutch for the Nuggets.
Yeah.
He had a lot of big buckets.
Will Barton looked great.
Will Barton looked really good. 32 total fouls called on the Clippers. We're not going to win any game where that happens. So
no,
that
and that's kind of echoes like the big concerns from the preseason was just like those fouls.
When you're
got to get under control.
When you're trying to make defense your identity, when you're figuring it out, there's going to be a lot of fouls.
Yeah.
I think every quarter, except maybe the third, the Nuggets were in the bonus with over 5 minutes to go.
Yeah.
They were in the bonus with like 5:40 to go in the first. And I was like, part of me was like, oh, this might be a blowout if they start getting in these.
Yeah.
In the bonus.
I mean, a good portion of Jokic's points were all just free throws.
Definitely. But so let's kind of start with the bad stuff.
Yeah.
Everyone listening to this who knows anything about the Clippers in their game last night will probably not disagree with us. Beverly and Bradley cannot play together when we need a bucket.
They cannot share the court at the same time.
They combined for 8 points. Patrick Beverly had 0 points. They both played over 20 minutes. Bradley had 28. Bradley was only 4 for 10, but it felt like he was 4 for 1,000.
Yeah, he was not. I mean,
he was shooting from the outside like he was Steph Curry.
Yeah, he was taking the shot. I mean, early in the shot clock too, like chucking it up there. And that's just like, I expect more from him because he's
a vet.
Yeah.
He's a vet. The most frustrating possession of the game for me was, I think it was maybe a minute or 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
Patrick Beverley has the ball. There's something like 12 seconds left on the shot clock. We're down by 2. Beverley jacks up a 3.
And it's short.
Contested.
Yeah.
And it just clangs.
Yeah.
They immediately get the rebound. And it kind of felt like right there, it was like,
oh, the game was over there. Yeah.
Like, that was it. That was super frustrating. Those two, it is only game one, but the scoring, I think that tonight or last night, Beverly's not going to have 0 points every game.
Yeah.
But when we need a bucket, get him off the floor.
Yeah, definitely.
Or just have both. You can't have both of them on the floor at the same time.
Yeah. And I don't know. We talk about like clamping down or whatever, and like, that's all well and good. But if you're so anemic on offense that you can't score, like, you're not going to stop every single possession from the other team.
It's the opposite of the Milos problem.
Like, yeah.
Where you're like, great, man. Like, yeah, we can't stop 100% of their... You can't stop 100% of the shots you take. Mike Scott and Luka Mbamute, two players that our bench completely hinges on.
That I was very excited about in the,
so
in
jacked.
The offseason.
Combined for 0-1-1.
Yeah.
Which kind of blew my mind when I looked at that box score.
Yeah, Luke was 0 for 5. Like, and some of them were like at the basket.
Mike Scott only played 4 minutes, but you turned to me at one point and you were like, that felt like an eternity.
Yeah, it felt, I thought that he had played 12 minutes.
Exactly. That was not good to see. Mike Scott didn't even attempt a 3-pointer.
Yeah.
Which is what we brought him in to do.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was supposed to be... Mr. Clutch.
Mr. Clutch. That's what everyone was called. we got out rebounded 56 to 47. We only had 21 team assists. Not good. If our team assists are lower than 25, I don't think we're going to win a whole lot of games in that situation.
That's fair.
The rebounding was kind of...
The rebounding we had talked about yesterday, I had brought up like if like being more aggressive on the glass was going to benefit Denver, and it 100% did.
Yeah.
They were getting so many second chance scoring opportunities, second and third chance.
Yeah, there was a bunch of, there were so many more third chances than I think I'd seen at all last season. And it was just like, we couldn't get out. It was almost like watching a hockey game when the offensive team just dumps and chase and just keeps getting possession and just keeps cycling the puck around. That's what happened last night a couple times. And it was so frustrating to watch. A bunch of weird long rebounds fell to the Nuggets too. Like a bunch of things that would like clang off, and then it would like, I don't know if that was luck or whatever.
Like a weird direction. It was coming from the basket.
Yeah, weird direction. And once we took Boban out, it was almost like such an abrupt change that no one really knew how to crash the glass.
Yeah.
Because we'll talk about the good after this. That was great. The Bradley talk, you know, there was a lot of talk about how like maybe we were starting Bradley to up his trade value. But if he's playing like ass, no one's going to want him.
Yeah.
Like, if he's playing terrible.
And defensively, like, he looked good. I wasn't blown away. Yeah.
He looked fine. He didn't really clamp anyone down. The team, this was bad. The team shot 29% from deep.
Yeah.
That is not going to win anyone any games. That was really bad. So that was the bad stuff. Let's get into the good stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
There was some definite positives.
There was a lot of good positives. Shea played 28 minutes.
Incredible.
Third highest on the team. I don't think anyone expected that.
No.
That was great. Didn't look like a rookie.
No.
Like, there were times he was moving on the court and it was just like he was dictating what was happening around him from the defense.
Yeah. And defensively, like, he looked really good in one-on-ones. There were a couple of times where a teammate had to like physically nudge him to like acknowledge the switch.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something that's definitely going to come. I mean, you know, that's, you got to learn. Like, you,
yeah.
I mean, he didn't play like that in college.
At Kentucky.
Yeah. Like that, I mean, that's not something that they really drill into you.
Yeah, they're not defensive powerhouses over there.
I also think part of it was just being so locked in on his man that maybe he wasn't
aware
of the whole court.
For sure.
So that, you know, that's like I mean, that's really my only nitpicky thing. That, and I guess he looked a little tentative going to the basket and
a couple of bad turnovers.
Yeah.
But that, again, I think that's an age thing.
Yeah.
In the NBA.
And just a communication thing. I mean, you got to figure out where your guys take a pass. You know?
He had 11 and 4 on 5 of 7 shooting. Should have had more assists if people were hitting shots. Yeah, in the beginning, he picked the ball up a few times in the half court offense, which was bad. But then as he got more comfortable, he was driving to the lane.
Yeah.
Someone had a great tweet about how he wasn't trying to be crafty. He was just trying to be aggressive.
Yeah.
And it worked. I think people don't think that a skinny guy like him can be aggressive. Because I think when they think of that, I think of like Russell Westbrook, which is the most aggressive.
Yeah.
And with Shea, it's like, no, it's silky smooth aggression.
Yeah, exactly. It's a, yeah, it's much more, it's just fluid. It's dynamic. Yeah. But yeah, I like that he's not trying to do anything fancy.
He didn't try and do too much.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think we're both pretty psyched about. We'd rather see him kind of rein it in than like unleash his full potential. Star of the game was Boban.
Yeah.
Everyone loved him. Was one of our keys to the game. Brought us back from a 20-point deficit. The thing with his conditioning, which was a little interesting, so we brought Boban in and no one could stop him.
Yeah.
He hit every single free throw. He moved well with the team. But, you know, Boban said that after, like, his big run, because he played 18 minutes, he did feel a little gassed.
Yeah.
Which it's like...
Okay. I guess I could kind of see it towards the end, like those fouls and stuff were happening more.
Yeah.
He didn't end up fouling out. He was taken out before.
Gallo ended up fouling out, which was very interesting.
Yeah.
Tobias had 19 and 10. I said he was going to go for 30. He didn't. he was close. 19 and 10 is good to see. Needed to be a little more aggressive.
Yeah. I would have liked to see, him and Gallo both a little bit more aggressive.
There was that mismatch he had with
Will Barton
that didn't get exploited early.
Yeah.
There was a couple times he was calling for the ball down low and it was like, give him the damn ball.
Yeah.
Like he's got this every single time. Gallo and Tobias combined for 6 of 13 from deep, which keep it going.
Yeah.
Like Gallo shot great from deep. Trez had 6, 5 and 1 with a few sweet blocks. But man, when he gets on the court, the whole team, it seems like ups their level.
Yeah. He seemed a little rusty though too. I think he was like 2 of 5 and...
Yeah, he seemed like he was doing a little too much.
Yeah.
Like, the block was sweet. He had, like, a
block was
sweet
awesome.
Volleyball spike that got everyone psyched. He had a couple sweet dunks.
Yeah.
Which, the finishing down low, especially from Gortat, was a little shaky last night.
It was.
Gortat missed a couple, not open layups, but layups where you're like, come on, bro.
Yeah.
Like, put that down. That was really tough. Those are our biggest positives. Doc had kind of some interesting quotes. He said, I thought we were a team that didn't execute our stuff, didn't trust our stuff. I didn't think we ran our stuff most of the game. And it stood out that when we did how good we were. I thought we did not play as a group last night. We played as a bunch of guys that were trying to have a day. I don't really believe that second part.
No.
We watched the game and no one was playing hero ball.
That's just not what I saw. You know?
Yeah.
And we're talking about Pat Beverly and Avery Bradley jacking up shots. And like maybe that's a little bit what he was referring
to. But even that, it didn't feel selfish. Like, Bradley maybe took a few too many shots for sure.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel like he didn't, you know, look at an open man.
Yeah. He wasn't like, I got this.
Yeah.
It was just like, it seemed, I mean, and a bunch of them were uncontested too. It's not like they were bad.
Yeah.
It's not like it was like shooting it was bad.
Yeah.
Necessarily.
We just want literally anyone else to shoot the ball.
Yeah.
It could have been a lot worse.
Definitely.
This was a really, you know, it sucks we lost. We had the lead, which, you know, sucks we blew that. But for a group of guys who haven't played, obviously, this level of competition ever together,
it's
a lot of encouraging signs.
Yeah. Still, like, got to get it figured out. I mean...
We got to get the guard. The backcourt's got to get figured out. We were really worried about the center position, but we seem solid on that.
Yeah, that was one big takeaway. I feel like all of preseason and, like, free agency, I was wondering what we were going to do at the five. And I mean, we seem solid. We seem fine there.
Yeah.
Backcourt has some issues. You know, we've acknowledged multiple times here that like our wing and forward positions are paper thin.
When Gallo and Tobias are out, it is rough.
Yeah.
Like if Mike Scott and Luke got to turn it around.
Yeah.
Because I mean, yeah, that second unit, our success hinges on the second unit.
Sin didn't suit up. I mean,
Ty Wallace didn't play. Yeah. Milos wasn't suited up. Angel Delgado wasn't suited up. Motley, I don't even think Motley was suited up.
Yeah.
So, you know, Sindarius will probably get some work in. Jerome didn't get any minutes, which was disappointing. It was close enough game where it was like, okay, I'm fine with maybe him not getting minutes.
I kind of understood.
Anyway, tough loss last night. The home crowd was great. We got the Thunder tomorrow.
Yeah, so this is one thing I just wanted to talk about. Like, I don't want to be, like, overly pessimistic.
Yeah.
But this was, like, the most winnable game.
Of the first 10.
Out of the first, yeah, out of the first 10. And, like, yeah. So, just, like, the next couple games, we play the Thunder. We play the Rockets twice. We play the Pels. We play the Wizards, which, like, you know.
That's a winnable game.
I think that's a winnable game. The Thunder again, Sixers, and then finally, we get an almost assured win against the Orlando Magic.
Thank God. So, yeah, this was a winnable game. Let's hope we can come out with some fire against the Thunder on Friday. I don't think they'll be with Russell Westbrook, so we might have a chance to put one over on them.
Yeah.
We'll have a game preview for you guys tomorrow. Yeah, I have been fairly positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William, the Opinion Update.
We'll see you next time, guys.
Later.